Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is County Council member Jed Krasher. And Jed is going to talk about this budget, the city budget in Albany. Now, it went into effect on December 1st, right, Jed?
Yes, we passed the budget. The council passed the budget on November 30th, and the budget takes effect the very next day, with or without council action.
So what are the important things that people should know about this year's budget?
Well, I think a lot of people have read about it in the paper already, which is good. I think the two biggest issues in the budget, there are certainly more, though, would be the proposed trash fee, which is still being worked out, which is a 1.5 revenue line. And I think the biggest topic of discussion and issue is a revenue line for $12.5 million, which comes entirely from additional state aid. So what's been the problem? One with the trash fee is that, first of all, there are folks like me on the council who think that the trash fee as proposed by the mayor is very much unfair to low-income earners and to renters, and also that since the details are still being worked out, it's another example by this administration of putting in a revenue line without a firm plan in place. Look back to red light cameras as an example from last year. And as far as the $12.5 million is concerned from the state, that is very much speculative. Certainly the council has not received any sort of formal indication from the state that it will be receiving anywhere near this much in additional aid. Now, the mayor's office could be communicating with the governor's office, and I'm sure they are, but what the governor's office has said publicly is that they are going to consider this additional request in addition to the rest of the budget. So nothing special, no special treatment, in other words. If we don't receive that $12.5 million, we're going to be facing a real problem, and that's an understatement in Albany. Not just significant cuts to services, the likes that most residents, I think, haven't seen, but also the prospect of a financial control board, as the mayor has indicated.
It seems like the red light cameras and now with the $12 million, it seems like all of this is projected revenue.
Well, and that I'm okay. Yeah.
And that projected revenue was written into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really, really scary.
Sure. I mean, I'm okay with projected revenue. I think what this is, with whether you're talking about red light cameras, the trash fee, or the $12.5 million from the state, it's not projected. It's speculative. Now, let's use red light cameras as an example. The $2 million that was in the budget last year, that was going to be raised this year, or said to be raised this year, we're not going to see a dime of that, not even close to $2 million, not even close to $1 million. And the figure, the $2 million figure, that came from a lobbying firm for a particular red light camera vendor. I was very skeptical of that figure then, and I didn't want to be vindicated, but I certainly am when we look at where we are today by that figure. So that's one example. And I asked the chief, I've asked the mayor's office where they came up with this year's projection for red light cameras, which is $1.9 million, and I have never received an answer. The trash fee, certainly not the same exact situation, but we don't know how things are going to shake out with it. And the unfortunate part is that when the council passes the budget, as we did, on November 30th, the budget includes a line item for the trash fee. And that immediately boxes the council in into voting for some form of a trash fee this year. And I would much rather see us taking a more thoughtful approach to the trash fee instead of rushing into it like we are right now. So it's not projected revenue. That's okay. It's okay to look at a particular program, do a thoughtful analysis, and come up with your best idea of what a particular program or initiative is going to generate. That's okay. But what these items are purely speculative. I have not seen any evidence whatsoever to support these revenue figures at all. And that is what troubles me the most. And I think my four colleagues in the council who joined me in voting against this budget.
So as of right now, who has voted against the budget?
Along with myself, it was Councilman Ron Bailey, who represents the 3rd Ward, Councilman Mark Robinson, who represents the 5th Ward, Finance Chair Frank Camisso, who represents the 15th Ward. So actually, that's 4 votes, I'm sorry, not 5, 4 against. So those were the folks that voted against the budget.
You know, I recently read a book about the machine, the O'Connell machine, and it seems as though in the past budget deficits going back for a while. What makes this administration different than past administrations as far as fiscal responsibility that you're aware of?
Well, with respect to fiscal responsibility, I think that this mayor takes a much more serious approach to the financial crisis that we face. And I think that is a result of necessity. I don't necessarily think it's a result of individual characteristics. So, you know, under Jerry Jennings, we were able to get away with one-shot revenues, and you know, we weren't quite at the cliff. And, you know, Jerry decided to leave around the time, perhaps not coincidentally, when we got very close to the financial cliff in the city of Albany. And now we really are with this budget. We are at that edge. So I think we're victims of circumstance, whether you're the mayor or any common council member, is that it's now. This is the year that we are right on the edge. And if the state doesn't come through with this money, then we're going to go over that cliff, and the consequences are pretty severe. So I think as far as fiscal responsibility goes, that is the biggest difference. Now, you bring up sort of the machine and the machine mentality, you know, but there's also, I think, similarities, and I think there is a history that continues with this current administration. And what you see is, as with many common councils past, as a current common council, that every single time, and make no mistake about it, every single time you have at least 8 members, majority, that will support what the mayor wants. That's not a new phenomenon in the city of Albany. That has typically been the case. Now, that's not, in my view, good government. That is not the way that you have a balanced approach and a smart approach to government, but that is how business has been done in Albany, and that carries through. So you have a very, very strong mayoral system. And while it's certainly that's in the charter, and I understand that, and so do the other members, the council continually decides, at least the majority, to not make their voice heard, and I think that's really a problem. But also there is a mentality that, again, is pervasive and historic and it exists to this day, that a council member or even just a citizen doesn't really have business questioning the wisdom of who's in office. And this mayor in particular, when you question the wisdom of either the mayor herself or someone in the mayor's office, you are met with a lot of blowback and a lot of criticism. Now, and then it, of course, it falls on deaf ears. So it's sort of like, God forbid you question the wisdom of the mayor's office. And that's not any way to run government. Certainly, no way to establish a good relationship with the council. And but, of course, the mayor doesn't have to do that because the mayor enjoys a majority, like I said, almost always, 9-10 votes, and certainly always at least 8 votes that gets her agenda through the council. And that's unfortunate.
Okay. So, what do you see as the consequences of a budget that's not fiscally responsible?
Well, I think a couple of things, perhaps more than a couple of things. One is the argument was made by those who voted for the budget that we have to send a message to the state that we need more state aid. And I don't think a single person in the council or in the city of Albany disputes that the city of Albany is treated horrifically by the state of New York with respect to state aid. And there's no question that we deserve a great deal more in state aid. The problem is that we're not sending a strong message to the state, certainly not with this governor who, you know, it's a topic for another time, who's horrific in many ways to local government. But it's not sending a strong message that we know how to balance our finances when the budget is fundamentally unbalanced. So nobody is questioning locally that we need more aid from the state, and I think that our case continues to be made over and over and over again. We as a council can do that in a way, in a more formal way this year, in asking for more state aid, and that will receive, I have no doubt about it, unanimous support on the council. But the budget is not, at least the way this budget is crafted, it's not the right way to convince the state, specifically this governor, that, you know, Albany knows what it's doing with respect to its budget, because you can't build in a $12.5 million hole and not provide any sort of contingency plan in the event that we don't receive all or even part of that requested funding. So that's really essential. I mean, it's essential from the perspective of, I think, a balanced budget. So, you know what you're doing. And the mayor very well may have that plan in her back pocket. I don't know. I certainly haven't seen that, nor has, I think, most of the council, even though we've asked for it. But it's also important from a moral perspective, because if we don't receive this money from the state, then we are going to face some, as I said, really dire consequences, including cuts to essential services. And it is important, I think, from a moral perspective, for residents to know what's at stake and to be prepared for what may happen in the event that the state doesn't come through. That's essential, and that has not been provided. So that is, I think, the problem here, with this budget, is that there's no disputing that the state needs to give us more aid. But when you look at red light cameras, and you look at this trash fee, and you look at some other revenue lines, and the unwillingness of the mayor's office to look at ways to cut expenditures. And, of course, the mayor's office would disagree with that characterization and say they are more than willing to consider cuts to expenditures and increases to revenue. But the problem is that the minority on the council, that is the four or five, sometimes six members that vote against the mayor, or at least has the audacity to question the mayor, we presented the mayor with some ideas to cut costs and to increase revenue, and they were soundly rejected by the mayor's office across the board as just wrong. You know, no justification behind it, no dialogue, just, no, we're not going to do this because this is not what we want to do. This is not part of the plan. And that is, again, not the way to run a city.
Well, that's amazing. So besides the budget, going into 2016 in a few weeks, what are the – oh, before I ask that question, what makes up the bulk of the budget? City services, salaries, what is the main thrust of the budget in Albany?
Right. That's a good question. The main thrust would be personnel, and then benefits to current employees and retired employees. That is the massive bulk of our budget. And when you look at specific departments, the departments that are, and it's understandable, of course, that take up most of our budget would be the police department, fire department, and Department of General Services. So people keep us safe in a host of ways. That's what takes up most of our budget. So it makes sense. But when you're looking at such a significant budget hole and the prospect of not getting this massive amount of requested aid and service cuts, the only place you can begin to really start looking are these essential departments. So you're going to be looking at some combination of cuts in those big three departments. And that's why I think it's so important that the mayor be upfront with the council and the public on what exactly would be the consequences of not receiving additional state aid. And that hasn't been the case. And that is a problem, as I said, from a fiscal responsibility point of view, but also from a moral responsibility.
Now, I'm sorry, my thought process is not very good this morning.
It's okay. It's early on a Sunday. It's okay.
Yeah. What's happening here in Albany, would you say it's happening in other cities throughout the state and maybe even the country? I know that a lot of cities are in, you know, fiscal dire straits. Would you say that other cities in New York is facing the same problems? And if so, has there been any networking between cities to share ideas on how to overcome these problems?
Well, I think when it comes to upstate municipalities, for many of them, certainly in the capital region and central New York, just using two regions as examples, that when it comes to how the state treats municipalities, whether it comes to state aid or unfunded mandates, those are the two big ones, it is grossly unfair. Yeah, I forgot what year it was, but I think now we're looking at a couple of years ago. The Schenectady superintendent of schools actually used the word discrimination when it came to funding, how the state funds our schools. And I think that's the exact right way to phrase it. It is discrimination with respect to financial aid. when you look at Albany and somewhat similar municipalities, although I do think Albany is certainly unique in it being the seat of government and bearing the burden of state government, you see blatant funding discrimination. And as a result of that, those municipalities that are the victims of that funding discrimination have to make very burdensome, cumbersome, and fundamentally unfair decisions for their residents in order to balance the budget. And it can easily be resolved, I think, if the state understands that there is gross inequity in how they fund and support their municipalities. But instead, we have, you know, this bizarre system where it's all based on political favoritism and who controls, you know, which house and of the legislature and who sits in the governor's office. And also with this particular governor, when you talk about economic development, his approach is, and I forget which news paper put it this way, but again, the spot on way to put it was the governor's version of Hunger Games. And you have these municipalities and regions competing for each other for state aid. And that is such a, I think, a cynical, nasty way to try to revitalize upstate economies, and the wrong way to go about doing it. So, yes, we are in the same boat when it comes to funding discrimination, and I think you raise a very good point in collaborating more with our neighboring municipalities and municipalities that across the state that are dealing with this funding discrimination and figuring out ways to address this issue and to balance our budget in a way that is least painful to our residents. So I think that is an ongoing conversation and something that continues me, a conversation that needs to be had for quite some time now. But also I think it's important that the city of Albany and municipalities who face this funding discrimination and burdensome unfunded mandates from the state join together in a political way and put pressure on the governor and put pressure on the legislative leader to stop treating upstate municipalities so unfairly.
Do you see for the city of Albany for 2016, what should people be aware of? What's projected in Albany?
I think the most important thing for residents to keep an eye on is the state budget process. And that'll start in earnest. I mean, it's already underway, but, you know, the public will have some idea of what's going on in mid-January. The process will play itself out, and we'll have an idea of what Albany will get in aid or won't get in aid in the spring, around March, April. So it's important, I think, that is the most important thing for residents to keep an eye on, because if we don't get that $12.5 million in requested aid, we are going to be facing some major challenges and the prospect of control board, which would be a terrible thing for the city. And we will know more as the winter progresses, but especially as we get into the spring with the state budget. So, you know, we'll see. And hopefully the state does the right thing here and gives us what we've requested, what the mayor's office has requested and the council has approved. But if they don't, or if they only give us half of what we're asking, that we're still going to be faced with some really, really difficult choices. So I don't know what those are, again, because the mayor's office, that burden and that responsibility falls on the chief executive of the city, which is the mayor, and we don't know what the mayor's plan is, if she even has one, if the state doesn't come through with all that aid or only part of that requested aid. So we'll have to see. But I would certainly encourage people to reach out to the governor's office and reach out to their local assembly member and senator in this case. But they, you know, again, our local assembly members and our senators, they get it. They know this discrimination happens, this funding discrimination. I think it's important for the legislative leaders to understand that too, and particularly this governor.
You know, you're talking about asking the state for money. Which I had a thought as you were talking about that. Has there ever been, or could there be, a municipality that's totally autonomous, that takes care of all its budgetary needs without looking elsewhere for help?
Well, that's certainly
and can it be done in Albany?
No, I don't think that's realistic. I mean, the number of the volume, I should say, of if, even if you just look at state property, which is just a significant part of our property makeup, you know, our physical property makeup in the city, but also, you know, our population in the city of Albany doubles, and that's in part. Doubles, I should say, during the work week, and that's in part due to the state. So, when you look at our aging infrastructure, and it is aging, and when you look at just the sheer volume of property and people that, as it relates to state government, I think that there would have to be, some kind of massive new source of outside funding. I don't know what that would be. In order to sort of cut ties with respect to getting money and asking money from the state, I think it's only fair, given that we are the capital of the state of New York, that we are given far closer, if not, I mean, we're not even given half of what we're supposed to be getting from the state, not even a quarter of what we're supposed to be getting from the state. And even if we got, a few percentage points more in aid, not even getting to a point of equity, true equity, we would be in a far better financial situation in Albany. And if the legislators and the governor are okay with seeing their capital city crumble, then that is a moral travesty on their part, and shame on them. But we have to do our part using our collective voice to make it very clear to the governor and to legislative leaders that we are being discriminated against, and it has to stop.
Jeff, thank you so much for enlightening us about the city budget. You know, when the state budget comes out in a month and a half, I hope to have you back on Focus on Albany so you can talk about what the ramifications are. So you've been listening to Common Council Member Jeff Crasher, and if you like Focus on Albany, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download on your smartphone. Listen anytime, anywhere. Thank you, Jed. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.